In the market for premium dice and accessories? Look no further than MetallicDiceGames.com for all your gaming needs. Save 10% off your purchases by using the promo code RBP10 at checkout. Check out the fantastic selection of dice and accessories today and use the promo code RBP10 to save 10% off any purchase anytime. Happy gaming from the Rancor's Brothel. Enjoy the show.
Rancor's Brothel presents The Wild Beyond the Witchlight.
Gleam says, the Beacons are maybe a little closer if you wish to go there first. It's just an option.
No.
But the reason for going to the beacons is to help light them so that they can open a portal for people to leave. Right?
Yes.
But we don't want people to leave yet. We want them to help us storm the castle.
Well, the prince wants to leave. Like, you could get the prince home, and then once you save Glister, you can always go back.
That's a lot of walking.
Yeah, but...
That's fair. You know. That's fair. It's just an option.
No, let's do this ring-a-bang-bong-dong thing
first. Let's finish this side quest first, because I hate backtracking.
Yeah, we're not going to open too many fetch quests here. It's just one at a time.
Literally the entire game is a fetch quest.
You're a fetch quest.
Hey. Fetch your face. You hear the sound of hundreds of tiny picks and hammers chipping away at stone that emanates from the mouth of a cave that has fingers of rock reaching skyward above it. Statues of irate, hairy creatures with cloven hooves are positioned so that they lean out around trees and boulders, all staring balefully at the cave entrance. You can tell they're statues of angry-looking Korids. These are the statues she told you about. An attempt to scare the Brigannocks.
Okay.
And Amador says, well, here it is.
Is that like a door or is it open?
It's a cave opening.
Okay. Do we see anything in the cave?
Not from the mouth of it, not from outside of it at least.
You
just hear the picking noise.
We'll call in. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
You're an idiot. Hello.
No, you get no response.
Okay. We'll venture in. A little bit.
I can take point. I have dark vision.
I am going to use my Eldritch Sight to just have a constant use of detect magic going until I need not worry about it to make sure nothing's trapped. That's magically.
Fair. That's fair.
So you can see it. I'm just like...
You don't have dark vision, do you? Is that the one thing they didn't give?
They do have dark vision.
They've retconned it.
Okay, so gotcha. That
fishmen have it. Because it'd be kind of weird that they cannot see in the deep, dark. Yeah,
originally they don't, but they were re-released in another book that they do have it.
Gotcha.
Yeah. It makes most sense. They can dive to the deepest depths of the ocean, but they can't see there when they get there. That doesn't make any fucking sense.
Echolocation.
That'd be a whole other set of problems.
Weirdly enough, as soon as you step inside, the tapping noises just stop. And then as you move in a little further, suddenly they begin to pick up again.
Like every 5 feet, I'll be calling out like, hello.
Yeah, you don't seem to get any response. And just so you guys realize this, it's sort of like a twisting labyrinth of 8 foot high ceilings that are only 3 feet wide. So you guys would be in a straight line.
Okay.
I need you all to make constitution saving throws.
21.
My little wooden body's tough. 24.
Dang. 18.
Ooh, look at you.
Okay.
And guess what? If it's a saving throw at all, you guys all get a +4 to it.
That was a 25 then.
So, yeah. Just something to remember.
This may not even apply to you anyway, Tyler, because of your creature build.
Yes.
But all of you kind of begin to get really drowsy and shake it off.
Oh, yeah. I don't get sleepy.
Yeah. I don't believe you can go to sleep.
Yeah, I can't be magically put to sleep.
Yeah.
Because I don't sleep.
Yep.
It says elves and any other creatures that can't be put to sleep by magic. Yeah.
I'm constructed. Yeah. I don't get sleepy.
You're immune to it anyhow.
I just...
But you see the others kind of stagger a little bit and shake it off.
What was that, guys? You okay?
We're fine.
Okay.
Okay. And then, like, as soon as that happened, like, you guys continue to walk. About 5 minutes after that happens, you see roughly 8 tiny creatures come around a corner with a wheelbarrow. They all look at you and kind of scream and turn and run.
Did they take the wheelbarrow with them?
They did.
Ah.
It says they spin the wheelbarrow around and run.
And what are these?
Does anything fall out?
No.
Damn. Thought we might have gotten the 50 gold diamond.
I'm getting a diamond.
Oh, say, no. Don't run, please. We come in peace.
Yell louder.
They're gone. In fact, they move so fast, you hardly even realize they're gone.
I'll keep walking until we somehow come across some that don't run or we are ambushed otherwise.
Well, let's follow those guys. They know where they're going.
And again, like I said, it's labyrinthian. Like, there's all kinds of branches going every direction at this point. And you guys feel lost. You have no idea what directions north, south, east, west at this point.
You're giving us no choice.
We could have pulled a maze. Prometheus.
It's absolutely a maze. And you guys walk for another, or you guys, you know, attempt to find this little group of Brigannocks again and come up with nothing. And you turn a corner and then out from behind you, you hear someone shout, "Who goes there?" And as you turn about, you actually see a man standing there.
A man.
A tall, slender human clad in dark leather armor. He has a friendly looking face. So you see like this tiny wisp of light above his shoulder, kind of floating, and then you realize that it moves and it's a tiny little creature sitting on his shoulder holding a very tiny little lantern.
How many fucking people with tiny sidekicks are there going to be in this game?
We're in a land of fairies,
pretty much.
Now, quick question. Is the tiny thing holding the lantern?
Yes.
Or, okay. Because I'm just making sure it's not linked with Navi for a second.
It's not. No. It's not. Yay! It's not a Tinkerbell situation.
Because we're saying
it
has leather armor.
Her name is Julia Roberts. That's who played Tinkerbell and Hook.
Yeah,
I couldn't remember. And last time I was like, "Don't look it up. Don't look it up. Don't remember at some point." And it just came to me today.
As it does.
He says 2 weeks ago. He says, "Greetings, trespassers. Didn't anyone ever teach you to knock?"
Rude.
I said hello like 87 times. So.
And there's no door.
And nobody answered. So,
if anything, you're being rude.
On you.
Yeah. We're trying to call out. No one says anything. There's no door for us to knock on saying, "Have you ever heard of knocking?"
Honestly, do you treat all your guests this way? I'm going to talk to your manager.
We're going to speak to the Better Business Bureau here, and you are going to get shut down.
Half a star, 100%.
The lion may not look it, but his name is Karen.
The Better Brigannock Bureau. He says,
"It's a family name."
He says, "The Brigannocks do not typically invite people to their mines. What is your business here?"
"Well, we
a parlay? Would this be peace a parlay?"
"And prosperity. Come to understand that they I don't want to do this.
You at this level, I'm pretty sure just got a thing that gives you, or was that seventh level? Did you get anything with your character?"
"No, that's next level."
"Dang it. I was like, wait, you get a skill that's literally for this situation."
"Yeah,
that's next level, yeah."
I should be.
"We understand that they make weapons for the Hagen. We were maybe wanting to procure their services."
You see the one on his shoulder begins to like just kind of go nuts. And you also realize there are like two more. Like, there's one hiding behind his foot. There's actually one like in his coin pouch, like peeking out, and they're like yelling at each other and like spitting. Says, "The Brigannocks do not help Endolin. The Cordids do. They provide them with their magical hair."
"Okay, so here's the situation. You guys think they work for her. They think you work for her. So Why don't we all go talk together and hash this out instead of you guys playing this childhood game of he said, she said.
Roll me charisma. Or persuasion check, sorry.
Oh, man, I should have been the one talking.
11.
15.
He kind of looks down at his shoulder and, like, leans a little so that the creature can speak to him in his ear. He says, Trig here, he almost believes you. But it's not up to me, and it's not up to him. It's up to their leader, Odin.
Odin?
Odin, son.
Sorry. Obud.
Okay. I was like, Odin? They have a character Obud. Named Odin?
Well,
it's up to their leader, super Obud. Tiny and has both eyes.
Can we speak with him?
And gnats. In order to speak to Obud, you must complete a task.
Answer me these of riddles course. Three.
Is that what you had the same idea? Awesome.
Either that or a shrubbery.
A shrubbery.
He says, he says, forgive me, as he sheathes this sword and says, I am Mulva.
Gulliver?
You're Mulva?
Oh.
Mulliver.
Mulliver.
Oliver with an M at the beginning.
As in Mancy.
You know, M as in Mancy. You would, of all people, would know.
Hang on a second.
Mrs. Nancy.
That's in Nancy. It's what? It's one of
the best Archer jokes there was.
He says, Oliver. I said Oliver that time. He says, Mulliver of Valor's Call.
Can I please have some more?
Wait a second. So, a guy who worked with you.
What kind of task do we need to perform?
He kind of leans in to Trig's little mouth and he says, we'll bring you to it. And then he stops and says, did you say you knew someone who worked with me?
Possibly. Do you know a dwarf?
I did.
Yeah?
I don't remember this thing. We came here to defeat...
The dwarf from the kitchen.
Yeah.
We came here
Kitchen dwarf guy.
We came here to defeat the League of Malevolence. I presumed that they were all still in the palace. You've what been to the palace?
Name? All but one now.
All but one now what?
Are in the palace.
Well, this
seriously,
is great news.
What was that guy's name? The dwarf, the malnourished dwarf. What was his name?
Elkhorn.
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 Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, if you mentioned that you know Elkhorn, he agrees. Yes, that is Elkhorn and I and three other human companions came here to defeat the League of Malevolence.
Well, Zurok, their assassin, is not going to be any more trouble.
Ha.
Zurok.
That guy.
Intriguing. He is the only one of the Malevolence you've come across?
Yes. Yeah, I think so.
Suppose that means that they now hold the palace.
It's our understanding, you know.
Yes, very grave news.
Anyway, you had a task for us?
Yeah, like, you guys are basically talking as you're walking. Like, right before you get there, he kind of stops and says, I do hope you are able to make peace. Creeping Lin kidnapped the Brigandock's best architect, Golmo, you see. Now he toils away in Motherhorn designing new contraptions for the hag. And now they just work the mines all hours of the night.
They?
The Brigandock's.
Ah.
He turns a corner and you guys come into a room. He says, this is Rivenwish Chasm. And what you see is the route ends at a gaping chasm, on the far side of which is a grotto full of stalactites and stalagmites. A truss bridge constructed of intricate wooden struts and beams spans the 100-foot gap across the chasm. And if you look down beneath the bridge is darkness dotted with glinting purple lights. Best to stay on the bridge and not dilly-dally.
Huh.
Obud resides on the other side.
We just gotta walk this bridge?
He kind of turns to Trig, and Trig just kind of looks back and nods very, very rapidly. And he says, I believe it is More of a game of trust.
Okay. Does it look like... does it look sturdy? Does it look rickety? Does it look like it's missing boards here and there?
No. I mean, it looks sturdy. It is about 5 feet wide and about 100 feet long.
Yikes.
It's a 100-foot wide chasm.
I will begin to walk across the bridge.
Okay. Who follows?
I'll go behind him.
I'm always the one that just follows. I used to lead, but that was just a cover up my sheer lack of not knowing where I was going. Now I just let you guys go. Someone take the rope.
Jesus, take the wheel.
Someone take the rope.
I pick the rope up and I dangle him over the side. As
nah. You had to keep the filthy rope, didn't you?
Oh yeah, that thing's probably so gross now.
Oh, it's disgusting. It is just garbage. And it honestly, if it hits something, it should deal minor poison damage. It's just teeming with bacteria.
You get about halfway. Everybody's passing is over 10, I believe, right?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
It's at 10.
That still works.
Okay.
As you walk across the bridge, you suddenly hear cackling from what sounds like three different rough voices. And three flaming skulls pop out from underneath of it. And
Bad trip.
Each one kind of speaks individually almost in like half sentences, and they almost kind of finish each other's sentence as it goes around.
But why?
A little bit like that. In fact, when they all pop up, kind of more like that, but like if a Pokemon would say its own name out loud, you hear Woe, Toe, and Poe all pop up, and they kind of say their name, cackle at you, and you can roll initiatives.
Oh, we get to duke it out with some flaming skulls. I'm going to take a minute. I got 6. I was excited to fight them, but they might be dead by the time we get there.
10.
Maybe not.
The skulls do fly. They are also 10 feet higher than where you are at.
I mean, we've come across flaming skulls, but none that talked.
What was your initial box?
10.
Troy.
17. No, sorry. I rolled a 19.
Tyler.
6.
Big ol' 6. Josh.
16. It's the best I've rolled for initiative yet.
Troy may act first. So these are clearly not in melee range of you. And they're also 10 feet higher than where you're at.
I will walk 60 feet ahead.
You gonna double move?
Yep.
You pass right through them and they all kind of look at you. And if they, I mean, they kind of have eyebrows. They're just kind of flamed. They kind of look at you indifferently and then look back at the rest of them. The skulls now go. They don't seem to pay you any mind after you've made it there. Let's see. 3 people to hit, 3 skulls. Number one looks at, we're just going to call you Red. It's an 18 hit.
Yes.
That is 5 fire damage that hits you. And it shoots at you again. A fire ray is what's happening. That's a natural 20. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Oof, buddy. That's bad. 24 fire damage coming at you. As a second fire ray hits you. Can you move number 3 back about 3 squares?
Back as in
towards Troy. Yep. As that one will go back and shoot towards the Leonian. Ooh, that's probably not going to hit because it's a single digit on the die. Does a 14 hit?
No.
Does a 16 hit?
No.
2 fire rays go by. Number 2 will swing around a little bit to hit, to fire at the puppet.
Where is swing around?
Not like right there. I probably could have just grabbed it and moved it myself. Oh, that rolled over. There's no way. A 9's probably not going to hit you.
No.
A modified 20?
Yes. Sorry.
Roll real low on that one. That is 4 fire damage against the puppet.
I would call out, just pass. Just walk the bridge.
It is Josh's turn.
I was going to run for the bridge anyway.
You double move. You make it to the other side. Alex.
The 15-foot cone. I can make that.
I'm going to get you.
I didn't know if it was AOE.
You got 60, or sorry, you got 30 movement, right?
35.
Oh, that's right. You got 35.
Faster than everybody else.
So even you will still make it to the next platform if that's what you wish to do.
I would.
You step over the puppet and continue on.
You mean I can't just pick him up and carry him with me?
I wouldn't say he couldn't.
I can grab the rope.
Roll me an
You could just grab the rope.
Roll me an acrobatics check.
Okay. Just throw him.
As you run by.
Lasso. That would be awesome.
The bolo puppet.
The rope snaps as I'm over the chasm, and it just throws.
Acrobatics.
21?
All right, yeah. With the 21, I say you grab him by the arm and you just take off.
He grabs the rope. He
grabs the rope and drags you.
I just...
That's fine.
I chop off the disease part of it, grab the healthy part, and just...
Well, yeah, you're disease resistant. You're fine.
That's true. I am pretty much immune.
We both have no disease issues because I can't get diseases and you have immunity.
Sounds like what happens when you run over rumble strips.
I can't make the noises.
You guys get there and spin around, and the skulls turn around and look at you all. They all, again, kind of like in weird broken sentences among one another, formulate a sentence that says, you are wise to realize violence is not always the correct answer. As they kind of one by one go back down under the bridge.
I heard somewhere that combat was the last option.
As they're saying that, then why did you shoot at us? As they just fade away. Oh yeah, what did you deal damage wise? Because you hit me. I don't remember you telling damage.
It was only 4.
Oh, okay.
Fire damage.
I couldn't remember. I didn't write it down.
Nothing.
His hit was a natural 20. Yours was modified.
Gotcha.
Yeah, you're burnt. You're singed, dude. You guys are smelling fish.
Gross. Bathe more regularly, please.
You guys turn back around towards what you were told was Obud's grotto. In the center of the grotto is a piebald pony wearing black blinders. I cannot say that.
Blah, 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 blah.
A small wooden hut is strapped to its back, and you can hear a faint clatter being made from within side from inside.
Is the hut rocking? Do we need to not come and knock?
It does not appear to be rocking, but you also do see Mulliver making his way across.
Does the hut have a door?
It does. It's got a little red door.
I was about to say, is the hut just got like flaps? How do we knock on flaps, tighten them? Like, knock, knock, knock.
Do you knock on the door then?
He does.
He doesn't have to, though. He
doesn't have to anymore.
But he likes to.
That's true. Old habits.
Even when they're a curse, they die hard.
Mulliver makes it across it seemingly with no problem.
What's that guy got that we don't got?
Friends.
Yeah. We've got 3 loose acquaintances. We have 3 loose acquaintances. That's what we have. And a puppet.
Mulliver walks up to the little door. And the door swings open. And... tiny, wrinkled, much more wrinkled-looking creature hobbles out. He's also accompanied by a tiny wisp bulb of light that appears to be strapped to his back, holding it. It's a very old Brigannock. He peers at you with very tiny spectacles and, in common, says, "Ah, big folk. How wonderful. What can I do for you?"
"What is your favorite color?"
"Blue."
"No, red."
Just the voice you're using is spot on.
"We were told you're the man to talk to around here."
I thought Obed was a girl for some reason. Am I crazy? Is Obed a guy?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I thought they said it was a girl.
If he wasn't, he is now.
To speak to about what?
Aren't we trying to get
him? Well, first of all, is there any way you can heal my friend here? Your, you know, skeletons who said not to, you know, violence isn't the answer. We're pretty violent with him.
Ah, yes. I have no magical ability to heal your friend. I am very sorry you were burnt.
Does that help your wound? Apology?
It doesn't really make it feel better.
The emotional damage is a little better, but the physical is still there.
Emotional damage. Emotional damage.
We've come to the understanding that essentially the... what are they called? Corids think you're working for the hag. You think they're working for the hag. It seems to be that none of you are working for the hag, and you guys should just maybe talk this out and, you know, be adults.
Indeed, yes. Peace should be made. As for Creeping Lynn's Theater of Terror is a very dreadful place indeed.
The what?
The theater.
What was it called?
The Theater of Terror.
No, you said a word before that.
What was the part before the Theater of Terror?
The whole line.
Creepy Lynn?
Yes.
Who is Creepy Lynn?
Endelin Moongrave.
I didn't remember her ever being called Lynn.
Creeping Lynn.
Okay.
The bitter end, if you will.
Okay. Is her theater in her residence?
Motherhorn? Yes.
Lightning?
Oh, you hear thunder at least.
Awesome. Okay. Keep Creepy Lynn's Theater of Terror.
It just makes me think of Wet Hot American Summer. Every time they throw something off screen, you hear it shatter. Doesn't matter what it is.
I just think of Young Frankenstein.
That too.
They threw like a pillow. It shatters.
So then will you travel with us out to parley with the Corids?
Parley. Only if the Corids are willing.
They've said they would be. If, you know, only to meet them halfway.
We'll meet in the middle. We'll be the arbiter. Is that the right word?
Yeah.
Arbiter.
Proper word.
We're the arbiters. I have calm emotions if things get heated.
Or even if not, just, hey, start off.
I could.
Nothing is fucked here.
Nothing is
fucked. He kind of scratches he's got like a long straggly beard. And in fact, I think like the picture that you saw is more like what
he looks like.
It's
okay.
Just, he's very old.
Gotcha. A spry 190.
Yeah, I don't remember if they give him an age, but he's fucking old.
It's fey. Those things tend to live forever.
So the cave formed around him.
Yeah, the cave formed around me.
He says, if peace is brought, we can show you the way through the tunnel.
A way through the tunnel?
The secret tunnel.
The secret tunnel that...
Yeah, I'm trying to get him to say that.
The secret tunnel.
You have a secret tunnel?
Say it loud enough for the whole class.
He kind of chuckles and says, I'm sure you were aware.
I was, but...
Why else would you have entered our domain?
I came in here to bring peace to your two warring clans. So we could all... storm the castle, as I've been saying, and, you know, in the Reign of Terror.
I do like the idea of us charging in with a bunch of diminutive creatures as like, oh!
And he says, well then, very glad you have come.
Mulliver just, like, puts a hand out, and Obud jumps into his hand, and he puts it on his shoulder.
Wait, what?
Obud, how small are these
Obud's?
They're tiny creatures. Like, they are perching on Mulliver's shoulder. That's how small they are.
So, Obud...
They're like the size of mice.
So, Obud was like a little fairy thing.
No, Obud is a Brigannock. Just like the rest of them.
Wait, then what's Mulliver?
Mulliver was a human.
I thought Mulliver was a Brigannock. Oh, man, I got so mixed up. Okay.
Yeah, that makes more sense. Human, Mulliver was, and all was these part little of Ella's characters call. Are...
Okay, see, that's where I got mixed up. I thought Mulliver was a Brig...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not a thing. Not a Brigannock.
Okay. Yeah, I got so mixed up there. I was like, wait, what? Is this a fairy thing? Okay. So the thing on his shoulder with the lantern earlier was also a Brigannock. Yep. Okay. That makes so much more sense now. I was very confused. It's much more clear. Hooray.
You'll forget in 10 seconds.
I will.
Hi, I'm Brian.
You guys met 10 Second Tom?
Tom. Hi, I'm Tom.
Nice that to would meet. Suck.
Give it a second. Hi, I'm Tom.
Yeah.
Molliver looks at you and says, where shall I meet?
They said they would essentially meet halfway between your cave and their
cluster of rocks.
The hinge.
The liths.
What is a hinge?
What's a hinge do?
I'm going to actually look up what that actually is a description.
Never been another hinge like it.
A prehistoric monument consisting of a circle of stone or wooden uprights.
Stonehenge.
Yeah, I didn't know what it actually was described as. I like to know words.
Really good old Eddie Izzard.
Yes. Yeah. Never been one like it.
Of course, there was wood hinge and brick hinge. He says, I'll lead you out.
Okay.
So he leads you back to the entrance.
Fiery bridge skulls not come
up? No, they don't come back at all.
Good deal.
They didn't come up at all when he walked through. Either one is, making his way toward you.
Jerk. He could have said something.
He did. He gave you a hint.
I know. I'm saying he could have said not to have him attack us. Just don't come up. It's okay.
It's probably not a word he says. It's probably just his B.O.
No, it's just the way it's written. Like, once you solve the puzzle, you're never attacked again.
Oh. It's like the Mud Pie Muffets.
Kind of.
You guys step back out. It's actually not a short walk back, though.
3 years later.
3 weeks later.
We've been here in a week and we've killed two hags. It's taken us 3 weeks to just set up a meeting between tiny creatures and a human.
Yeah. Well, you have to look at it. One's combat, one's bureaucracy.
It's like a few hours walk.
Bureaucracy takes a lot more time. Combat's the rushed method.
It's the correct method.
Let's
see if we get anything fun.
The weed and the elf wait for us, or did they go back?
No, they're out there.
Did the weed? The dandelion guy was like, the weed?
Weed, wait.
No. I already used the chair, remember?
So as we leave, I would basically say, hey, go on ahead, grab the cords, and tell them that we've set up the parlay.
That's fine.
Come closer.
So those two take off, and as you guys make your way towards the halfway point.
Because some of these things are just kind of fun to do.
We are attacked by 27...
six black skulls. Dragons.
Yeah, the best number of dragons.
You see a wooden wagon.
It's got a wheel of cheese.
It begins trundling towards you guys. Squeaky wheels. Seems to be moving by itself, but it is accompanied by a tall figure swathed in long robes and a cowl.
Are we going to get whisked away to
bring out your dead?
It is painted. It is painted with stormy, windswept landscapes.
The cart? Do you know what this is all of a sudden, or are you just liking the description?
No. I'm thinking of those vans that have like the giant...
That's also what I imagine.
Paintings on the side of it. It just makes me laugh.
The old school like rocker van.
Like Krieger's van.
It just sort of stops near you, and...
the figure pulls on like a string that opens up a curtain on the side of it.
Is this a shop?
I swear to God, if he offers us candy, I'm just going to murder him now.
You need to see if he has a hammer.
Yes, I do.
It appears to be a small stage with marionettes.
It's a puppet.
Each one representing one of you.
Is the one that represents me just me?
A smaller
version of me.
No, it's an actual boy this time. There's a small child in the thing.
It's actually a person.
And suddenly it begins to like reenact the moment you met with the Korids, and they begin to dance and around, performing at least seemingly the same jig, not quite exact, right? But
I whisper to Richard,
doing what
those
they can.
Dolls are creepy. How do you put up with those? Like, that's...
You get used to it.
Well, that's good.
No, you don't.
He's right.
And it lasts for about, like, 3 minutes.
There's a thing about marionettes and puppets. Those things do bother me, even though I think they're neat. They just give me that uncanny valley.
And then it starts another scene where the backdrop changes, and suddenly you're inside of a cave. And it appears as if you're running across a small bridge. And three little, orangish things on strings that might be like flaming skulls. And one of them, one of the marionettes, the marionette that looks like Chorus, like begins to smoke a little as you all run across to the other side. And then after that ends, after another like 3 minutes, a little banner pops up that just says "to be continued."
Anyone else feel that was really familiar?
I feel like we need our money back.
Did we even pay?
No, but we need our money back.
And then the figure reaches in its robes and pulls out little slips of paper and hands them out. They appear to be tickets.
It would be tickets.
Is it for the continuation of the show?
Each one looks like a ticket with a tiny puppet on it resembling your character, painted on it.
Mine's just a picture of
written under the effigy in a script that each of you understands, regardless of the language, are the words, "Good for one private audience with Indolin Moongrave. No strings attached."
Ha ha, I get the funny pun.
And as you look back up, the wagon and the figure are just gone.
She knows.
Interesting.
Molliver goes, "Very strange."
So, on our way?
I just put that ticket in my pocket, I guess. I don't know.
You guys make it to the halfway point. After a little while, they show up.
In your helmet.
It's probably getting close to dark at this point, but they will show up. And you can see they're almost kind of hissing at each other and, you know, not moving very quickly and clearly aggressive towards one another.
Stop that or I'll get the hose. Squirt bottle.
Yeah, for a second I was like, wait a second.
One of the chords shouts something such as, you know, "Building any good contraptions lately?" As one of the Brigandocks say, "Nice haircut."
I will just like yell out some random words in Sylvan, like really quickly, just to like try to get their attention.
Who's the most charismatic?
They all look at you and they look back and they're like,
"Calm emotions.
You should so be talking to these people."
I'm not the one to talk, even though I have a +5 in persuasion.
They all look around at each other and they kind of look at you like, "What the fuck is he saying?"
Now that you're both done acting like children, let's talk.
Argentile, the shale queen, the one that was the one that you guys helped lose. Actually, you helped her lose, but she was part of the game. She just like sits down, and the rest of the chords just plop right down, kind of almost in a triangle formation with her in the front.
I feel like a shale queen would not be great, seeing as how shale's real flaky.
I mean, there were various different rock.
I understand, but I just like the shale queen is like, ooh, that seems flaky.
I'd rather have obsidian. That's sharp.
Also flaky.
The Brigandocks do the same. It's kind of a same formation with Obud in front. And they begin to converse. Roll me some d20s. Just kind of curious.
I don't know what I'm adding, but I got a 7.
13.
A nat 20.
I rolled a 20, a 10, and a 10.
You did say roll a couple d20s.
He said roll some d20s.
Yeah. I have one out right now.
That's fine.
13 and a 20. There we go.
I just rolled one because that's all I have out in front of me right now.
You guys are like throwing things out there as they are still kind of, they're talking, but they're still kind of passive aggressive about a lot of what they're talking about. And each time they say something passive aggressive, one of you just seems to interrupt with something that is logical and trying to be helpful. So a lot of the higher numbers you guys are rolling seem to be helping. So if you have any too low ones, they kind of scoff. But after about an hour and a half to 2 hours of discussion.
I literally would have started this out with like, "Korids, all together now. Do you work for the hag?"
No.
Of course they're going to say no, and the brigands will say no, yes.
Then I will turn to the Brigandocks and say, "Do you guys work for the hag?"
They will say no, but the Korids will say yes. And that's how that conversation would begin. Because that's at the very beginning what they still would believe. After so long of a discussion, as it begins to get very dark out, they come to an agreement. They do find out that the Korids had no idea that apparently, you know, they took, I believe his name was Gollum, their architect, the Brigandock architect, who was now, you know, enslaved by Indolin. And they explain, oh yes, well, Endolin sometimes, you know, whenever one of us gets taken, always cuts our hair, but she always lets us go to let it grow back and takes us again later.
So it's not so much they work with her, it's just they tend to be captured and or catch and release a lot
of
the time.
It's a catch and release, it's an enslavement thing, and it's just all she's doing is using them for their power.
So it's with...
But she's, at the same time, she's seems to be implanting the hint that one is working with her while the other is not.
The whole thought to me is each side's getting enough information to make it to where the other side they don't trust.
Exactly.
And so I was like, Zone of Truth is the thing I was talking about, because then you just can't lie. It's like, boom, put the leaders in there. Are you guys working for the hack?
No. I do have Zone of Truth.
Oh, you could have just used that strip. You can't lie in that.
Doesn't matter at this point.
We've done determined it. It's
they
fine.
Discuss it. Yeah. And they decide to make a truce.
Do they shake hands?
In some way or another, yes.
Do they trade trinkets?
No, they do not.
Oh.
The rock people, the queen puts out one finger and the tiny
things just grabs it.
And Obud looks back and thanks you. And yeah, so Argantile also like shakes your hand and thanks you. And they turn to go back to their hinge, and the Briganox kind of ask whether or not, you know, do you wish to take the tunnel or do you wish to walk yon? He kind of looks about and says, between here and there, I believe, are the beacons, but not much more.
Any interesting...
Probably past the beacons to get here.
You didn't get to them. You guys went straight north. They were north and east. But they were a little closer. Like, if you were to go straight east, you'd probably get there. But it is also getting dark out, so if you guys want to camp somewhere, whatever you want to do.
We'll do that, but since he's a leader, odd question. Anything handy that we might be able to use against the witch?
That you know of?
Anything at all?
And he will kind of recite a similar thing about an eclipse, but that there is no moon and he's not entirely sure how it would work.
I was thinking something material, like a sword or a piece of armor.
Probably not. No, they have no magical items.
He wouldn't know of any kind of wisdom.
That's unfortunate.
That would help.
Would you allow us to camp in your cave, maybe just inside the entrance for the evening?
Of course.
Camp somewhere safe.
Yes.
But I think our plan is to go to the beacons, talk to the prince, and then maybe we'll come back and use your secret passage.
These are acceptable terms. And he will lead you that way. You guys can get into the entrance and you can sleep for the night. I don't know if there's anything that you guys, if there's like spells you want to change out or anything.
Yeah, all I did was swap out. I had the magic stone, which I didn't really use. I used it like the first time we played and had combat. And I was like, meh, I don't really use it. So I just took minor illusion.
Can you do me a favor? Since you're faster on your little thing, can you look up Stone of Good Luck? Because that's what his stone is.
Oh, yeah. I was going to do that earlier.
And it only lasts 24 hours.
And then otherwise, it's just 1,000 gold sapphire.
Right. So, but if it comes in useful and you want to use it, you can. I don't know that it shatters or anything. It could be once a day.
The magic just goes away.
Yeah. Either way, you still have, at least, again, unless it shatters, you still have 1,000 gold sapphire.
I have it written down, but I don't know what it does.
What's that?
I said I have it written down in the bag of holding, but you might have to remember what it does. I don't have a lot of
room. I'm looking it up right now. It's probably like a use of lucky where you can reroll.
I presume
a die.
It's like you probably utilize it as luck, the feat luck for one time a day.
Our bag of holding is getting pretty full.
It's just an active effect. You get a +1 to ability check and saving throws. So for 24 hours, you just have a +1 to your checks.
And you already have an aura that gives you a.
+4. That's why. So
for
plus
me,
five.
You have +5 to that for your save for 24 hours. Yeah. So, but once it's out, and then you just have a sapphire.
Okay. Well, in that case, after we rest, I'll probably activate it.
it's always active.
Yeah, it's just active. Exactly. So since you got it,
it's probably active until like midday, because that's about what time you got it.
Yeah. Okay. So
cool.
Then it just turns to 1,000 gold stone.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
Because that kind of stuff just happens.
So you guys are going to head towards the beacons then.
Yes.
Yeah.
Light the beacons.
Yeah, no. Now I have minor illusion.
You hear what you think is thunder, but then you realize that it seems to be coming closer.
It's actually lightning that we hear.
Running towards us.
As you realize that it is very large, heavy footsteps.
Uh-oh.
And even Amador suddenly unsheathes his sword and begins to look about. You see, peeking around some rocks as it steps forward, is a large cyclops in a beekeeper's bonnet.
Yep.
I want to know his name.
Do any of you speak giant?
No.
Ha!
Do you?
No. But I can pantomime like nobody's business.
Then as it speaks, you don't understand a word.
Technically, I'm supposed to have learned a language.
That's true. You get a language from your samurai.
We can trail a Cthulhu list. If you want to learn that language, you
I learned giant.
Well, I'm happy to trail a Cthulhu that.
I totally forgot about that.
Actually. You hear this rumbling voice scream, "You stole my queen bee."
Oh, snap. Pollinella.
Mudlump needs queen to make honey mead. Best mead in yawn.
I think he needs that bee more than Dandelion does.
What was his name?
Mudlump.
Mudlump?
Lump.
Mudlump. Oh, even better.
I like him already.
Was Pollinella taken, or did Pollinella leave of her own volition? Do when
what
the queen
do you
dies?
Do?
You persuade him.
Or do you give the dandelion the third degree?
I don't think the dandelion stole the bee.
Mm.
He literally told you he stole the bee.
I don't remember this.
He said he freed Pollinella from a giant cyclops beaker.
Oh, he freed
is different than stolen.
Fair.
But that's a matter of perspective. Because freeing somebody of, say, an apple without paying them is probably not considered freeing the apple.
Calm emotions on the cyclops? Make a charisma save.
It's not based on creature size, is it?
Nope. I'm just like, calm down. Let's talk. You're big.
Sure. I rolled a single digit. I don't know. I don't have a stat in front of me, so I'm going to presume that that.
Yeah, fails. Unless you had a massive thing. I think I have a 16 on the save.
He calms, but is still.
That's fine. So he's not angry and on the edge.
So it seemed as if Pollinella here was making your honey not of her own free will.
Do you provide dental?
Can you let her come and go as she pleases? Because
he just kind of responds with the same thing, like, Mudlump need queen bee to make mead. And you hear Amador kind of whisper, "It's all right, my love."
Aww.
As you hear him.
I mean, obviously, like, in a real life setting, you know, the queen isn't the one that actually does shit. She just
lays eggs.
Is there. Yeah. So, but I'm thinking in this anthropomorphized world that she just needs to be there sort of to instruct them every once in a while. So she doesn't need
give her a quote unquote 9 to 5.
Yeah.
Happy workers.
Something like that product. Be suitable. And I'll be saying that to Pollinella.
She buzzes in Amador's ear, and he tries to explain what you're saying. And he says, he kind of comes back and says, "We wish never to be separated.
How about you hang out while she helps them make the honey?
Except we need him to get to the palace.
Not right now, though. Later.
That'll be for future Team Hag Slayers to deal with.
We'll ask for a vacation for her.
That's right. What are we?
Hagsbane, I think.
Hagsbane. Yeah. That's right.
What was our team future name? Selves this problem. We don't have to deal with that.
It's still in the testing phase, the team name.
No, it's a thing.
We got to check our demographics first.
Does it roll off the tongue for people? Hagsbane? And then we're going away from the logic of what's happening there.
Roll me like a persuasion.
Is it an advantage because we calmed the man down?
Is that what calm emotions does?
No. Well, maybe. No. Let's see.
14.
Just saying.
Okay. He kind of just, his shoulders kind of droop as he thinks about it.
Harumph.
And just kind of says, "Will she make mead?"
Does she make the mead, or do the workers make the mead?
She is queen. They won't work.
This seems like a conversation he has to have with himself between Amador and the giant.
Tell the flower to talk to the bee, like, will that work? If it's like a there part of the time. Like, you can hang out while she's doing stuff, maybe even be a part of the process. I like how we're trying to, like, do some logistics here in this fantasy world.
It's a work release program.
Basically.
I mean, he doesn't understand a word you're saying. He's only talking to you.
Yeah, no, I'm communicating that to the Dandelion.
We're talking this stuff out and tell Dandelion to tell the bee so that he can translate what the bee says to us, so then he can translate to the giant what he said.
Amador, a big
telephone game.
I mean, the giant doesn't seem to grasp the concept. He's not that intelligent.
Just say yes.
Amador kind of looks at you and says, "I don't think he understands. Polinella and I are in love. We cannot be separated."
I don't understand why that's not an issue, right? Like, we're not asking you to be separated.
Can Polinella take up a trainee program?
I mean, if you don't want to do this, I'm trying to provide a compromise here. But if you're saying that she doesn't want to go back to him at all, then we'll slay the fucker. Like, that's not a problem either.
We don't want to have to go to bloodshed, but it's not like it's out of question.
We're really good at it.
We've killed two hags. How hard could have mead making cyclops be?
It's a pretty large f-ing creature you're staring at.
As Richard said earlier, easier to hit.
Roll me a persuasion for Amador.
Nope.
I mean, he says, as long as we don't have to
separate.
I got
a 23.
Right. So with that roll, you say something that sways him. Then I suppose I'll be off. As he puts his sword away, Gleam says, I can get you to the beacons.
Okay.
Can't really get you much further than that.
No, we don't need to go further than
because
that.
Because he's the way to the palace, correct?
Yeah, he's the way out of Yon.
So
yeah.
We don't need him right now anyway. We can go back and get him when she's on break.
Then they walk off.
Also, Mudflap.
Mudlump.
Mudlump. I forgot his name. Mudlump, where is your meadery? Is that what he has? Or is it just like he makes mead out of a shack?
No, according to the book, he has a home. But
okay, where is that?
He doesn't understand what you're saying because he doesn't understand your language.
I would communicate that.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
you can tell me.
I just love the sigh. Like,
he just points one direction and says, tells you,
"We're not interested in a boy band."
That he has a home.
He points in one direction. Right, it's just a boy band.
Points in one direction.
Took me a second.
That's a get, if you ask me. He points a direction that, and he says, "Home."
We mark down said direction. I assume a cyclops that's huge is gonna have a visibly noticeable home. Probably a roaring of bees, since they're roughly, I'm gonna assume, orange to grape sized.
Yeah, all of them are pretty big.
So they're gonna be loud.
I don't know. I kind of like a ping on my map, please.
We don't have a map. Do we? No, we don't have a map.
No. You haven't had a map at all.
We are really going by the seat of our pants today.
We've been winging it pretty well so far.
You've had guides everywhere.
They have not been the most helpful.
We have been guided.
Then Gleam will lead you further on to the beacons.
Gleam, do you know where Mudlump's place is?
She does not.
Okay.
You guys get to an area that is a little more flat. Eight columns of rock reach skyward, forming a ring around a deep crater lake. Rough-hewn steps spiral up each of the columns. A rowboat is moored on the lakeshore next to one of them. You see a torch-bearing figure trudging up the stairs on the column nearest the rowboat. And around that column, you see eight winged beasts with antlers, shouting, howling, and seemingly laughing as they circle in a wheel pattern around it. You don't see the tops of these things because of how tall they are. They seem to go into the clouds a little bit. And as you watch, you get a glint of something in the cloud as if a beacon were to have been lit. And the figure begins to run down the spiral staircase. And as he does, you hear the cackling and howling as these creatures whoosh up into the clouds. And just as he reaches the next tower, the light above goes out.
Mm.
And you hear him just yell curses. And,
like, swear or, like, actual, like, curses you?
Yeah, no, he's just, like, swearing.
And, okay. Yeah. He yells curses. I was like, is he
probably literally goes, curses!
That's what I was thinking. He was actually like, he yells curses. Yeah. I was like, is that actually what he says?
Damn it, creatures.
Yeah, because I was like, because we are in a place full of magic creatures. Like, they could literally be just spitting curses at things. They're like minor curses. Like, you're always going to have a pebble in your shoe and stuff like that.
Gleam kind of waves, and he nods and begins to row toward you. He says, hello, Gleam. Who are your friends? Everyone has the same voice tonight.
Everyone has
the same vocal pattern today.
Chinopio, the puppet boy.
Could only hire one voice actor today.
I was like, wait, I thought you were saying we all sound like, what? We all sound the same.
He says, you,
as of right now.
He says, you appear as though you were directly from the theater itself.
Different theater.
Never been in a theater, but okay.
Strange.
We are Hagsbane.
Name drop.
And then...
he chuckles.
Credits.
I got a modified 20 to play... I have no instruments. I just...
spoons or something?
On my leg. I just clack it with the wood sounds.
You're a percussion instrument in itself.
By his very nature.
I hit on my leg in a melodic fashion.
It's a very strange puppet you have there.
Yeah, you're telling us.
I'm a real boy.
He steps up out of the boat and says, I am Allagarthas. Prince Allagarthas, as he gives a bit of a bow.
Allagarthas?
Allagarthas.
Another A name.
A-L-A-G-A-R-T-H-A-S.
Al. You're Al.
Not the spelling you gave earlier, but...
pretty sure it was.
And this is the pompous elf.
Do I need to do another record scratch?
Yes.
We need you.
Every time.
Every time we...
one of these days you'll be wrong.
Every time.
Four.
Seems like you have a bit of an issue there.
He looks up and says, yes, I've been trying to light these beacons for ages.
Looks like you got some...
and they keep putting them out.
You know, people who are not letting you do that. You tried, you know, stopping them?
Yes, the Paratons.
The what?
Paratons. Large, raven-like creatures with antlers.
Their though name they, is not appropriate.
Though they weren't creatures all their lives, Andolin changed them. In fact, they once were a troubadour group by the name of the Greyhawk Mummers. Andolin invited them into Motherhorn at some point where they performed their pantomimes, and once their popularity reached a certain height, they were difficult to control. She locked them up, and when they begged to be set free, she did so, but in doing so, changed them into these creatures. Deprived them entirely of speech, yet they seemed to retain their natural theatrical behavior.
And what do they look like? Or have we not seen them?
You haven't really seen them up close.
Okay.
But they are described as large raven-like creatures with antlers.
Ugh, that seems creepy.
Have you tried asking them not to?
Yes, nothing I do seems to help. They laugh, they cackle, and they put out my fires.
See, we could have just done the fucking storm the castle thing without even doing this.
Yeah, shit. Probably could have.
I told you, backtracking.
It's fine. How many are there?
8 of them.
Is there a way to attract them, like, close?
They're, like, almost 200 feet above you flying.
He's saying, like, is there like, a thing where we can down bait near them? Us.
Not that you're aware of. Sorry, what?
I was just saying the same thing. Basically, he's suggesting some sort of bait, like how with a magpie would have you flash a shiny thing and they come towards
it. Bring it in.
He says, I've never really seen them land on ground, only maybe perch on the edge of the towers once they grow slightly tired, but then they fly back up and continue to put out my fires.
Are there any, like, bushes around?
I mean, not really.
Is there any sort of softer ground, maybe?
Dang. There's a lake.
Next level, I could take 300 range on my
blast. I need ground, not a lake.
There's not really... you're not seeing, like, grass or of any kind anywhere.
I don't need grass. I need soft ground.
It's all rock. It's a mountain.
This is where mold earth would be awesome. Literally turn rock into dirt.
Yeah. Everything is as hard as stone here. What few trees you have seen are leafless and dead-looking.
So it seems like the solution here is kill the hag, and hopefully these guys will get changed back to their natural state, and then you can light your beacons.
I suppose that's worth a shot, but
I've been trying to get home for what seems like years.
Right. But that's not successful, so let's try plan B.
He just kind of shrugs.
He's Nelf. He's got time.
He says, so you're heading to Motherhorn then?
We've got a, you know, long shortcut, if you will.
We were thinking about a sort of saunter, really. Not really going straight there.
Bit of a swagger.
Yeah, you could say that.
Some sort of pimp walk.
Well, I do have the stick for it.
Not me. That's silly business.
Right.
You would look the best with a pimp walk, though. A herring gun with a pimp walk.
He says,
once we kill this hack.
Right over the corpse.
He says, are you aware of what you're getting yourself into?
Yeah, we've done it once or twice before.
He hasn't
been
seen
in Motherhorn once or twice before?
Oh, no, I thought you meant killing hacks.
Huh. He says, the castle is quite a grand and terrible place. A large theater there, which he has forcefully has plays performed on the stage for her own amusement. No one enjoys performing them. And she's also always trying to recruit new actors to perform at her theater.
He's going to be way more useful than we ever thought.
So we've got a couple contingencies of folk who are equally as interested in seeing Indolin, you know, usurped. I think if we all combine forces, if you will, we can make this happen.
I see. Well, good luck to you then. I must continue my work.
Your work of lighting beacons that doesn't seem to be successful?
He kind of looks up and says, they'll grow tired eventually.
You said you've been doing this for years. Are you that dense?
You said they get tired, wait a minute, and then they get back to it. They're resting, you're not. You're not making progress. This is a Sisyphean-style task.
He just shrugs and says, I must get home. And he gets back in his rowboat and says, is there anything further?
How many beacons are there?
I think it was 8.
Okay, we don't have enough people.
I go and destroy the beacons. F*** this guy.
Yeah, good luck.
If we had a way to light
your
all 8.
Your beacons are gone. Go the fuck home.
If we had a way to light all 8 at the same time.
Yeah, that would be ideal for you, but they are over 200 feet in the air and 150 feet apart from one another.
My wooden wands don't reach that far.
I don't have anything that goes that far either. I have 120-foot range on Eldritch Blast. If I hit level 4, I could make it 1.5 times further than that.
Yeah, it's too bad we don't have platform rules. We'd make this work somehow.
2.5. It's 2.5.
How is he able to light them then? At last.
He's got a torch. Like, he literally gets up. He has a torch. He gets up there, lights it, and runs back down.
Ah. So there's stairs.
And goes to the next
stairs.
One. And by the time he gets to the stairs or the next one, the one he lit is out.
So we just got to get 8 people.
Maybe. He said, but you informed earlier that the person who wishes to go to the place has to be the one who lights the last beacon.
Right.
Because they have to think of where they want to go. But yes, that is at least ideal.
Yeah. Okay.
Then we got to find 8 people. We got 4.
I still don't feel all inclined to help this guy out.
We have 5 with him.
Yeah. So we need 3 people.
6 with the elf girl. Sure,
looks like we shouldn't have sent away the other 2.
We couldn't because they would have to separate, and that's not happening. So we'd still need 1 more. And I don't know if I really trust a dandelion or a bee to handle fire.
I mean, I'm not sure that the bee would have been able to, but the dandelion probably could have.
That and they're in a very codependent relationship right now.
Doesn't sound healthy. I don't see it lasting.
No.
I say, Al, take a little break, rest, and we'll get back to you about these beacons. We'll figure something out. But just kind of take some time to yourself instead of rowing and trying to light torches and not getting anywhere.
He kind of just nods and says, I'll rest a while and hopefully see you soon.
Best we can ask for.
He's absolutely going to ignore doctor's orders.
Of course. He's an elf and he's pompous.
He once was a knight.
All right,
even more so.
Head back to the cave.
Back to the cave you go.
at some point in time, you come upon some of the Briganox who bring you to Molliver, who will bring you back to Obin.
We're ready to storm the castle. Secretly.
As you guys, as Obin begins to walk you down a few corridors, you see one of the other Briganox pushing a wheelbarrow of stones, and one of them is glowing a kind of a bright gold.
Like it's glowing and not just...
The stone itself is glowing.
Okay. What is that?
Ajak, what have you there?
Ajak, you know, supposedly being the other Briganok, mm-hmm. picks up the stone and says something. He looks over at Chorus and says, "Have you made a wish lately?
Did you make a wish?
Not that I'm aware of."
No, you did.
I did?
You made a wish in the carnival, remember?
Oh, shit.
You were the only one that did.
Yep.
He says, "A wish stone. That's what these are."
Like, is it a stone that has the frickin' spell wish in it? A limited power wish?
Not so much. He says, "Some of our stones grow gold when they are good wishes and purple when they are bad wishes. That is why they are at the bottom of the chasm."
What does it mean when they glow?
All wish stones glow. Some dark, some light.
But what does it mean when they're glowing?
Means that your wish has been found.
What was your wish? Yeah, what was your wish, Chorus? I do not remember.
Do you remember what it was? I do. It was silly. I remember that. I know that.
Yeah, I don't have it written down. That was, what, like session two?
It was like session one.
Okay. Yeah, we were at the carnival in session one, and then we're out in session two.
Your wish was that your food talked back to you.
Do you remember that?
Because you had to talk to your food.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Apparently that was a good one.
It's not an ill-mannered wish, so it's not purple. It comes out as gold.
Okay. I wish my food would talk back to me. You're delicious.
I am. What?
He just explains that that's what they mine for wish stones, and they discard the evil wishes, and they keep the good wishes.
What do you do with them? What do you do with the good wishes, sir?
That's kind of a good question.
Eat them. They just eat them. They taste better. The other ones are sour and gross.
They're Gorons.
Gross.
Wow, I can't believe it. I do remember that now.
Yep.
Now that's been a long time.
Whenever a mortal makes a wish on a material plane, an echo of that wish crystallizes inside a stone buried deep in the earth of the Feywild. Tiny creatures called Briganox excavate mines beneath the surface of Yon to search for these wish stones. That's all it says. Doesn't say what they do with them. It's just what they do. They
it's probably something wishes. Nefarious.
I think you could take it as the evil wishes they find, they discard. Mm-hmm. The good wishes probably go to some higher power to come true.
Somehow.
Your somewhere. Wish has now been found.
Maybe if we help Zabilna, you can get talking food.
Yes.
Maybe. Step one, mind magic rocks. Step two.
Question marks. Step three, prophets. These are the underpants gnomes of D&D.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And Ajak kind of just like puts it back in the cart and goes off.
Are the other stones in the cart not glowing then?
Some of them are gold, some of them are purple.
Okay. You said this cart and you see one glowing. I was like, does that mean all the others are just dull?
It's the one on the top thematically.
Gotcha.
Because it's the most important.
Yep. You guys make your way through some more tunnels and then all of a sudden you come to what looks like this big wall. And he says something in a language you don't understand and waves a hand and it ripples away and opens up. A further tunnel. This tunnel will lead you to a storage room, I believe, in Motherhorn.
A storage room? In Motherhorn, the cast.
You hear thunder.
Yes, I believe somewhere or below the stage.
Oh, that's right, it's a theater. I was like, what? Okay, so we'll end up in the storage room, just the four of us. Anything you know that we should look out for?
Actually, everything there is corrupt or evil, so everything.
Do you know anything about the Sun and Moon twins? Because I heard one's a captive there.
I do not. I've never been there myself.
Okay.
He didn't dig the tunnel, he just managed.
Things happen.
And you guys can head that direction if that's what you want to do.
Is Gleam going with us?
Yes. Unless you tell her otherwise, she will go with you.
Nice. Fodder.
The tunnel ends at a wall of loose-fitting stones. Red light shines through the cracks, and you hear the sounds of shouting and hammering coming from somewhere beyond the wall.
Thank you all for listening. The Wild Beyond the Witchlight is co-written by Stacey Allen, Will Doyle, Ari Leavich, and Chris Perkins. You can find us online at RancorsBrothel.com and on Facebook at Fans of the Rancors Brothel.